Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepard.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and salutations, friends of Southwest Florida. We have made it to yet another day. Trying to keep your lives as normal as possible here in Southwest Florida during the coronavirus. I am Craig Sheeman. Birthday boy Pete Shepard is in his house in Bonita, broadcasting from there. Chris is on the other side of the glass as he and I continue from Estero. We got a lot to do. You know how to reach us if you want to jump in and take your mind off some stuff. The phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. That's also the Stony Brook Golf Club text line as well. You can follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. You can follow me at CraigESPN. You can follow Pete Shepard at PSHEP326 and wish him a happy birthday, as I will do at this moment. Happy birthday.
No, please.
To you.
No, that's plenty.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh God.
Happy birthday, dear Peter. Patriots suck. Happy birthday to you.
Thanks.
Code word great. Peter. What's up?
Outstanding. Thank you. Thanks to everybody. So far on all my social media stuff, got hundreds of messages, and I probably won't be able to get back to everybody personally. I'll try, but thank you very much. I really appreciate it. So thanks, and thank you guys for whatever that was. But
yeah,
I appreciate it.
Worked hard.
Oh, you're welcome.
We
Pete.
Were we
Don't
rehearsed.
Worry.
We're good. We're in sync.
You rehearsed. You're good.
So
first text of the day. UPS driver says I hate eggplant right out of the gate.
There's more on that.
There's a lot more on that.
We get right. For those that didn't listen to the 5 o'clock hour yesterday, it was a food hour. I was repulsed by the fact that Pete Shepard was having eggplant for dinner.
It was delicious. By the way, I have two pictures of before and after, and it looks it was delicious. And I actually had a leftover for lunch today. So,
look, I don't deny that it can be good. Basically the premise of my entire argument was, if you have a choice between chicken parmesan or eggplant parmesan, you go chicken. And you all disagreed with me. And
I say I wouldn't go chicken parm every time.
Well, I would.
I like to switch it up a little bit.
Right, that's the whole thing.
That's all we were saying.
That's all.
That's
it. Eggplant has a place.
So last night I went home and I had a real meal. I had a grilled cheeseburger. I had home steak fries that we made ourselves, and some kale salad, mixing in a little vegetable. And I'm sure it was a lot better than any mushy eggplant or anything. But
no,
anyway.
It was not better than any, and it wasn't mushy at all. It was absolutely delicious. A lot of texture. I told you what was in it, what was stuffed with.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
All right, now, there's a part two to this story.
Yeah.
It involves Chris.
Oh.
So this morning, my wife goes over to the freezer, and she pulls out an aluminum tin of something that's got foil on the top and says, all right, you know, don't put this away. I'm going to let it get room temp and we're going to have this for lunch. Yeah. I go, oh, what is it? Eggplant parm. I said, are you kidding me? I go, did you listen yesterday at 5? She's like, no, what did you talk about yesterday at 5? I said, eggplant parm.
For an hour.
For an hour. We talked about specifically eggplant parmesan for an hour. So I had it today, and I took a video of me taking it out of the oven, and I sent it to Craig and you on Twitter.
Yeah.
And said, look at it. And it was delicious. My kids ate it. I ate it. My wife ate
Your
it.
Kids
it was
ate
fantastic.
Eggplant?
Wait a minute. You heated it up in the oven, right? I'm sure. And a lot of Italian,
for
like
about
a lot
an
of
hour,
food,
yeah.
A lot of good Italian food tastes better the next day, but in your case, probably many, many days
Wait
later.
A minute.
But still,
your 4 year old and your 1 year old ate eggplant.
Oh, ate it up. Loved
it. Did they know what they were eating?
Yes.
You would too, just because you didn't get it as a kid.
It's not that like. I'm not saying that it's better than chicken parm. That's not what I'm saying.
That was the crux of my whole argument yesterday.
No, your argument was it's not. It has no place. That was your argument, that there is never a time, there's never a scenario when eggplant parm is going to be ordered over chicken parm. And I said, that's where we said, you're wrong.
Okay. I used to have a saying, I'd avoid it like the plague. I'd avoid it like coronavirus. I got to update and be current. I don't want it.
So ridiculous.
So anyway,
that is absurd.
Eggplant parm for lunch today is what I had.
Good.
And it was fantastic.
So, Pete, will you have a birthday cake? Will you self-isolate with your birthday tonight? What's going on?
Well, I don't think I'm going. It's nowhere to go. I actually took a ride. I took a Chara for a ride today. I just went down by Nitty Beach Road. I did a loop, basically, which was just to see. I went all the way down through Fort Myers Beach, didn't stop anywhere. Just went and just to see what it was like, and then looped back around over the bridge. And it was gone for about an hour and a half, but just to get the dog out of the house for a little bit, even though she's been going to play group and stuff. But
your dog has play group,
so,
and you walk your dog, and yeah, yet you had to take it for a drive.
Well, yeah, well, she liked to get her out of the house, and you know.
Okay. It's not like you needed to get out of the house.
That's what it sounds
You've
like.
You've been doing your show from home for a week now.
But I play golf. I'm out enough. I walk and I play golf enough. And still, so Sunday, the one cart, one person goes into effect, that rule. But that's not bad.
At least the course is still open.
That'd be great. I'm sure you would.
So today you left the cozy confines of your neighborhood. How many days had you been locked up in inside the gates?
Because your golf is inside the gates.
I went to Publix last week twice.
Right, but it had been
one after golf on Saturday on the way home, and then there was another time last week that I went, but for a second, just to pop in.
So today's Thursday. You haven't left the gates since Saturday.
Yeah, I haven't left the gates since Saturday.
Good for you, Pete Shepherd. Good for you.
That's hunkering down.
Yeah. Well, what am I going to do?
I get it. I was just curious.
I'm just thankful the course is still open, because I think if I couldn't play golf, at least we can get out, because it's still pretty cold up in the north and the Midwest, and you know there's stupid March storms. The end of March storms are coming. I know it's near the end of March, but it's at least we can go outside here. Right? At least you can get outside. I mean, it's beautiful out again. I mean, you're talking, it feels about like 92 degrees today.
Feels like spring break.
But, yeah.
This is what I remember. When I came down from cold Indiana the first week of April, I'd come down here to Sanibel, and it was hot. And
oh, by the way, I was thinking of you this morning, Craig.
Yes.
And Chris to a degree. Did you see the news story today? You cannot go to Sanibel unless you are going to stay there for at least seven days. That's
really
a week to you and me.
I just heard that at 1:30.
That's a week to you and me.
Now, that's for people, like, I was confused by one thing. Is that people can't get a reservation shorter than the 7 days? Could I still go over the causeway and drive around?
I believe so. But the kicker to the whole thing was, if you had already made a reservation and it wasn't 7 days, you are bleeped.
You're out. Yeah,
you're out.
I just
you
heard
can't
that.
Get your money back. Heard that this morning.
But this is following a meeting from Lee County Commission. Now they voted not to shut down anything. They won't do it. Even though I think I heard a report that Lee County is expected to have its corona cases double in the next couple of days.
It's all going to get shut down. I don't know what Governor DeSantis is waiting for. I really don't. I'm a little disappointed, to be honest with you.
I understand it. I don't know what the right decision is. I mean, look, this is all the businesses that sucked during red tide now are sucking during spring break. This is their everybody's going to lose their businesses. I would not want to be a governor. I would not want to be a president. I wouldn't want to make any of these decisions. Now, one question I have is, I think it would make sense to do everything at the same time, but we're doing this piecemeal. I mean, we shut down, one city, San Francisco got shut down 2 weeks ago, and, day by day, another city shuts down.
I think we just need to shut down for 2 weeks. Everybody, every city, every town, just get it out of the way. Let's just do it. Because all we're doing, we're just procrastinating. It's going to happen. I don't know. What else can be being debated? You can't go out anywhere. You can't go to the beaches. You can't go to restaurants. You can't go to bars. So what the hell are you waiting for? What is he waiting for?
I don't know.
What else you got to do? I mean, there's nothing to do. You can go outside and walk around. You can have, driveway, distance.
Parties.
Social distance parties.
Social distance parties. And that's about it.
Really, my life hasn't changed.
So what the hell
much.
Are we waiting for? Tell me, somebody explain to me what we're waiting for.
Other than not going to the beach, my life hasn't changed that much. I'm still coming to work. I still isolate at home when I can. And I've been preparing for this moment my whole life. I'm an introvert. I'm an extrovert on the radio. And then at 6 o'clock when I sign off, I'm an introvert.
Could there be a case for business owners that at least a little bit of business is better than no business
yes.
at all?
And I think that's exactly what DeSantis is weighing right now.
Well, I understand with the takeout and everything, and I get that, and I'm all for that. But I just think
I'm not just talking about restaurants. I'm talking everything.
Everything.
I mean, because if it's shut down, then it's shut down.
Yeah.
Well, essential businesses will still be. I mean, like Publix will still be able to stay open. I mean, we'd still be on the air. We're gas stations, things like that.
But
I think the essential
businesses will still be. I don't think it's as easy as you make it out to be. Just do it. Look, I wouldn't want to be him right now. I don't think it's that easy of a call.
It's never easy. I totally get that. It's not easy. But I just think it's going to be. It's going to be now. Every state is going to be doing it eventually. It's.
Well, I don't know that. I hear the president the other day say, look, New York's different than Oklahoma right now. Right now, 50% of all the new cases are coming out of New York. Oklahoma's mm-hmm. pretty, you know, they got social distancing anyway. There's 10 miles in between uh-huh. houses over there.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I
don't know what the right answer is, though.
I really don't either, but I think in this state, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time, and I'd rather do it sooner rather than later, so we can get it over with at least for 2 weeks, and maybe get back to a little sense of normalcy. But we'll see.
All right, you didn't answer my question. Are we having any kind of celebration with the wife? Or
I don't know.
Has she presented you with a present yet? Or
I got a card. I got a beautiful card this morning.
Yeah. All right.
But I don't, you know, usually we go out to dinner. It's, you know, 53. We're past like the big present thing. I don't know. I don't know what's in mind. Maybe after the show. I don't know.
All right, what did the dog get you for you? Let me ask it
nothing
a different
yet.
Way.
Okay. I got nothing. Nothing from Chara yet. Nothing for Chara yet, but that'll probably be coming after.
Okay.
I know we have some nice steaks we're going to cook tonight. I know that.
There
is that okay
go.
With you, Craig?
Yeah, that's much preferred over eggplant. Absolutely. Yeah. Steaks is the way to go. In fact,
What did we watch last night?
Well, okay, again, I didn't watch anything.
So you ignored your family and went in the little room again?
No, I did a little workout.
What kind of workout? Let's get specific. I mean,
with a dumbbell.
We got time.
Like Mr. Costanza.
All right, fellas. I didn't want to break this down, but I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to let you peek behind the window here.
Little 7-minute abs.
Craig Mann's 24 days into 90-day P90X.
Wow! Yeah, good for you.
I've lost 15 pounds.
You're committed.
I'm freaking ripped right now.
Good for you.
What's P90X?
Seriously? It's like the most popular like late night commercial TV.
Oh, the video. So are you in you have a mat? Workout mat?
Yes, I got my garage. It's all set up. Pull-ups, weights.
Pull-ups.
Got a yoga. Tonight's yoga. I hate yoga.
Tonight, oh, my God. You're going to stand on your head?
Yesterday was shoulders and arms.
Please have your wife take a picture of you
nope,
doing yoga.
Not gonna
Are
happen.
You going to be wearing, you know, tights?
No, guys don't wear yoga pants.
No,
you wear athletic shorts.
I don't know what happens.
You know, one step away from not knowing your way around a hardware store, you wouldn't know your way around a gym either, probably.
Pete.
No, my gym, I go to a lot down here. It's just it's shut down right
Pete,
now.
Pete, real talk, yoga would be good for you with golf.
Yeah, core.
Yoga they and have, golf
no,
go
no,
hand
listen,
in
I've
hand.
Taken, since I've been here, they have. I took three classes called golf yoga.
Yeah,
it was
okay,
fantastic.
Perfect, yeah.
But they switched them from the morning to the afternoon now, and I can't, I'm working, so I can't do it. It sucks. Used to be at 9 or 10 o'clock, and I did three of them, and it was fantastic. And it improved my game the next day when I played. It's just different types of stretching for golfers. It was fantastic.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah,
I hate yoga for the
Will
record.
You stand on your head, Craig?
Downward dog, you know, warrior pose. You got to do all these poses.
Downward dog?
Are you familiar with anything
That's
I'm talking about?
That's a yoga pose.
That's a regular standard
It sounds
issue.
Like Kama Sutra.
So unbelievable.
You're just,
sounds like
you're
Kama
just
Sutra.
Absolutely clueless, aren't you?
Child's pose?
Yeah, oh yeah. That feels good.
It does feel nice to stretch the hips. It does.
That child's pose is good.
I don't know that.
Unbelievable.
I don't know any of the terminology. I know Kama Sutra terminology. It sounds the same to me.
It's not.
It's the opposite.
I don't know about the opposite, but it's not the opposite. It's not the same.
You see chicks in yoga pants and they're stretching, arching their back, and everything's raised up in the air. You're like, oh well, you know,
that's downward dog.
Oh,
that
downward
position
dog?
Is downward dog. Yes,
downward dog. Picture your hands on the ground, your feet on the ground, and your ass in the air. I have seen it done.
Yes,
I've seen it done.
That's downward dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was 18 when I first saw that.
Pete Shepard, how long can you plank? 2 seconds?
Oh, I don't know.
10 seconds?
Two minutes? I don't know. That'd be interesting. Yeah. I'm saying 10. I'll go 10.
10 seconds?
What?
10 seconds.
Oh, okay.
10 seconds.
Okay. Acceptable. I believe that. Right. Yeah.
Now,
I could not make it 60 seconds doing a plank.
That's hard.
I'm pretty confident
in hard.
That. Yeah.
All right, now, Pete, what...
Sounds unnecessary.
What did you watch and not get exercise doing?
We watched... we sat outside for a little bit and watched... I watched one rerun. We watched the rerun of Chop from two nights ago. Then we watched Manifest. And then that was it. She kind of went to bed. It was like 9 o'clock, and I stayed up. I was still playing poker online, and I ended up watching Stupid OJ on ESPN.
Oh,
a little
Made
bit.
America.
I could have watched. I just, it's one of those things where you start watching it, it was part three.
Yeah.
And it just,
it
still fascinates
new,
me, some of it. No, but this was, it's not new, but it's different. You know, it's a little different perspective from the movie, you know, with, when Mark Schwimmer's playing, you know,
yes.
Robert Shapiro.
I saw both of these.
When you really hear that, especially when you really listen to OJ when he's when they're following him, when they're talking to him on the phone, when he's ready to blow his brains out, he is so overwhelmingly guilty. It's pathetic. It is, and when you really watch it again and hear the dialogue and hear him in the car and hear him you hear the banter with the police department, it is ridiculous how this guy got off.
I agree.
It really is. Blood test, no blood test. You just listen to that 5 or 6 minute conversation and that one scene, and he is so guilty, it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Not going to argue with you on that. All right, now, Chris broke in a couple of episodes of Tiger King, which I...
I watched one this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
So did you watch the first one, Pete? And Chris, you watched the first two?
Yes, I watched the first one.
Yeah, I watched the first two last night. I don't know how to explain what I watched. It was the most unbelievable in a good way, but also unbelievable in a bad way, but all at the same time, it made you feel a lot better about yourself, or at least for me it did. I didn't know people like this actually existed.
I mean, I knew there's big animal zoos out there, but you know, when you think of that, I think of Los Angeles. I think even the Bronx. I think of the London Zoo.
Zoo Miami. Know. Yeah, like those places.
Yeah, Miami, Naples. I mean, I think of those places. You don't think of these big compounds out there. He had 227 different cats, quote unquote cats, right?
Right.
That's what he's,
227 was the number, right.
He says he's never been bitten. The most scariest part of episode one, which I'm sure you'll agree, is when, what's his name? One of the network guys was talking to him, and he's like, if anybody really seriously tries to come on this property, there's going to be another Waco situation on their hand.
Terrifying.
He's packing all the time.
And I think he means that as well.
Oh, I absolutely does. No, I want to see, I'm not sure this guy, if he's even, by the time I get to episode 9, I think, I want him to... I don't know if the guy's even still alive, or I know part of the story, but I don't want to spoiler alert.
One thing that's so clear, even after the first episode, even more clear after the second episode, is all these people who are involved in like the big cat game.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to explain it. Like, there's a lady up in Tampa that has the big cat sanctuary.
Yeah.
She's a weirdo. She's a nut job. She's the most normal of all of them,
really?
But she's a nut job.
So does it kind of all come back to focusing on one character, or is it just everything?
Yeah, it kind of everything
does
goes
come back to this guy.
Everything goes through Joe Exotic, who's
Joe
got
Exotic,
his private zoo in Oklahoma. And everything filters through him. So he's friends with this person. Then they do a little bit on this person and talk about
a lot of it. Some of it takes place in Tampa, though. I mean, it's
Now, Chris, you told me one guy was accused of murdering somebody or a couple people, or do we know, was that the main character?
There's a lot of murder involved. The lady up in Tampa at the Big Cat Sanctuary, Carol, Her husband from years ago, he went missing. His family believes that he was fed to the tigers.
Oh, my gosh.
It's unbelievable, Craig, and that's even the tip of the iceberg. I'm talking polygamy.
Oh, yeah.
All types of polygamy. The weirdest interperson dynamic workings that I've ever seen.
So, how many episodes is this, Chris?
There's seven. So the final two are like there's the trailer and then there's another trailer.
Okay.
Or something like
that. Probably recap or something like that.
Between the two of you, would either of you recommend I watch it? Would I be bored with this? Would it be too crazy?
You gotta get through the first episode, because I haven't seen the second one, but I can understand. It started to get really good about halfway through the first. The first episode just sets everything up. You have to see. There's a lot of stuff, and you know these beautiful animals that he's with, and you know, showing them to kids and adults and everything. It kind of sets it up what he.
So
would,
I can't then jump about, in episode
with about
five.
10 minutes. With about 10 minutes to go, then it really starts to get. You start to see what a psycho nut job this guy really is.
The best way I can describe it, and again, I'm only two episodes in, so I still got five more to go. But about every 10 minutes. I kind of popped up out of my chair and looked at my wife and said, what?
Really?
Yeah. Hold on. We got to hit the reset button on this real quick. And you start getting into this whole nother world. It's like a train wreck.
Yep.
Where you don't want to watch, but you're captivated because you know if you just stay with this thing for another 500 seconds, you're going to be shocked again.
Really?
And yep, from what absolutely. I understand, reading a little bit on Twitter without, because Twitter's actually been pretty good about no spoilers.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because, the final chapter hasn't been written on this guy yet or what the whole story is, but apparently this is the way that it continues for another five episodes.
Really?
Once you think it's gotten to the weirdest point it can get to, the script flips, and now we're in a weirder dimension, but still in this dimension.
But a lot of it's documented, because a lot of this stuff, he had his own TV show on YouTube every night, and he was on a bunch of network stuff, and he didn't hold back at all.
Thirsty Nick says Shaq makes an appearance on this show.
He does. I saw it last night.
Episode two?
He buys his tigers from this guy.
Shaq buys tigers?
Yeah, he bought two tigers, which I guess if you want to buy a baby tiger, a tiger cub.
Yes.
About $2,000, which I thought was pretty affordable.
That's a layup.
I thought it was illegal, to be honest with you.
I've known people that have done it before.
So the selling and purchasing of the exotic animals, yes, that is illegal.
Yes.
Ownership is not illegal.
That's kind of a loophole.
There's your loophole. Yeah. And that's where these guys, they operate and they make a lot of money off of selling these legal cats, but it's the actual selling of the cat that's illegal, not owning the cat.
Well, I mean, I thought owning tigers was for weird people like Mike Tyson. Okay. So you tell me Shaq does it.
Scarface. He had a tiger, remember?
Did he? I don't remember that.
Yeah, he wanted a tiger, and he got a tiger.
I'm so excited to watch the rest of this. I probably won't get done with it tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah.
But by Monday of next week, full report. I won't ruin everything, but I'll be able to paint a much clearer picture to you about who's who, where this thing is going, and if you should watch or not.
Are you more locked into this than you were The Bachelor?
It's completely different.
But the plot twists.
It's completely different, because this is like, what's so cool about this is this guy, Joe Exotic.
Yes.
He was fascinated with recording himself for years.
Really?
He hired a camera guy to just follow him around.
A narcissist?
Yes.
Yes.
To the nth power. I mean, just full of himself.
He also put out an album or something, a CD. By the way, somebody says that Joe Exotic should be Otis's walk-up music.
He's a country music artist. He has two different albums that he's put out. I don't know if they were produced by a producer or if he just bought studio time and put them out. Not that bad.
All right, so this, if you're just tuning in, we did spend a lot of time on this. You may have just tuned in and walked into Netflix, Tiger King. Chris is two episodes in. Pete is one. I am zero. I'll probably jump in at episode five at some point and claim that I know what's going to happen.
No, just wait until Monday, and I'll tell you yes or no. Right now, I don't think you'd like it right now. Just knowing you,
right.
It's very...
fragmented?
Yeah, like it jumps around a lot, but I feel like they're
more than Bombshell.
Yeah, but it's the reason why. There's a reason why they did it.
Right,
there's a reason why. 239 says the size of the python in the beginning. Yeah, and then right after that, he had that. Somebody was selling in the back of the truck that beautiful. There's like five of them left in the world, right? Those beautiful snow Bengal cub tiger that he had. Whatever, I forget what you call it. It's like a white tiger, albino almost, and they're very, very rare. This guy had a cub or a 2-year-old in the back of his truck.
Wow.
It was unbelievable, caged.
All right. Stay tuned. More details on
absolutely
that.
Nuts.
By the way, this should be opening day for Major League Baseball and Sweet 16. This was supposed to be a fantastic sports day on the calendar. Yeah.
I got some of the top 10 opening day Major League Baseball moments. Not necessarily that took place on March 26th.
Yes.
We can go over those, and maybe we can go through all three of our favorite opening day moments.
Absolutely.
Of all time. And I got a bunch of college football lists today too. That's fascinating stuff.
I also need to clarify. Apparently that's not Joe Exotic singing.
Oh.
He hired somebody and lip-synced the song.
It, yeah.
Lip-synced the song.
And made albums still?
Two.
Vanilli or whatever they
Milli
were.
Vanilli?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. We do have some football news we'll get to. Dak and the Cowboys are back to the negotiating table. I guess a virtual table. And some news about Tom Brady and the NFL draft all coming up in just a bit. By the way, boys and girls, make sure you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's, getting your life and your finances together in these uncertain times. That includes your insurance, whether it be your auto insurance or homeowner's insurance. Heck, bundle them both together with Farmers Insurance. There's just one Farmers Insurance office in all of Southwest Florida. It's really easy to find at Burnwood Place Drive. Roll in there like you're a big deal and say, hey, I listen to Sheeman and Shepherd. What's this I've been hearing about on the radio with Farmers Insurance bundling and saving money? You ask for Damon Briss, personal friend. I've known the Briss family for 30 years. His phone number is 239-202-2933. Say it with me slowly. 239, you know the area code, 202-2933. Damon Briss, Farmers Insurance. Have you switched yet?
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. It is Pete Shepherd's birthday. Cake by the ocean. Except we can't go by the ocean.
Hey, you caught it. Good job.
Oh, I'm hip. I knew Pete. I'm explaining it for Pete.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can call in and wish Pete a happy birthday today if you want. 239-337-ESPN.
No, you don't have to do that.
I would like it very much.
Or text it in.
Sure.
Just tweeted out. Harlem Globetrotters legend Fred Curly Neal died today at age 77. He is my favorite Globetrotter of all time and probably the most popular of all time.
Curly and Meadowlark Lemon, who is also deceased.
Yeah, and if you don't remember Curly, Curly's a guy.
He's the bald guy.
He was just phenomenal.
Imagine that, a bald guy named Curly.
Yeah, yes. So he passed away at age 77. Too bad. And Kenyon Drake has officially signed his transition tag tender offer from the Arizona Cardinals.
All right. Also, tonight, boys and girls, since we don't have Sweet 16 action, we do have Elite 8 from 2005, Illinois versus Zona, 8 o'clock tonight. Right here on 99.3 ESPN. Who is it? Somebody came storming back in that game. Was that Arizona?
No, Illinois. They had the three guards that year. Darren Williams ended up being the best one in the NBA.
Yes.
But they had three very, I believe they were undefeated and got to the national championship game in 05 and lost to the Sean May-led UNC Tar Heels.
Really?
Yeah.
Undefeated or one loss? They were.
I want to think one loss.
It might have been one loss. They were exceptional all year, though. One of the better Carolina teams, so obviously I was following along and kept waiting for Illinois to get knocked off that year so the Tar Heels could get a number one seed, and it never happened.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
The Sports Emmy nominations are out as well. We can go through that. There's seven nominees.
Yeah, let's do that in a bit. I like something you said last segment. Of course, today should be opening day for Major League Baseball.
Yes.
I, you know, probably if you are in our audience and you're above 40, a Major League Baseball opening day was a humongous deal. If you're below 40, maybe a so-so deal or maybe not a deal at all, perhaps. Yeah. I could think, see, I lived in, when I was a kid growing up after I left Detroit, I was in Indianapolis and we didn't, that's Reds country there. And the Reds always really had the first day by themselves. And then everybody, if I remember correctly, isn't that right? The Reds would, or at least the first.
Yes, they were first at 2 o'clock always. They always, for many, many years.
Now, do they have the day to themselves, or do they do the 2 o'clock and then everybody else played at night that night? I can't remember.
I know they had the first game. There might have been night game, but they had the first game.
Yeah. Now, I don't have an opening day memory per se, but I will go early. I remember April, I think it was April 4th. It was about a week into the season in the amazing 84 season the Tigers had when Jack Morris threw a no-hitter in Chicago against the White Sox. And then that was part of the 35-5 run to open up the season and pretty much clinch by May. That's my like early quasi-opening day, opening week memory. But I'm sure you have plenty growing up following the Red Sox.
Yeah, well, I mean, the ones that I really there's a couple that stand out. One is 1986, the Buckner year. I hate to even say that. God rest his soul. But it started off the very first pitch of the game. They're playing at Comiskey, the old Comiskey, against the White Sox. And Dwight Evans, who batted anywhere from first to ninth is when he was with the Red Sox, hit the very first pitch of the season out of the park.
Nice.
So that ended up being, I thought, a pretty good omen. They went on to the World Series. We know what happened there. However, they did lose that game 6-5. I remember that. But I also remember 1998, and I was at this one. This was at Fenway against Seattle. The Red Sox were down 5-2 in the ninth inning, and seven straight bat. It concluded with Mo Vaughn hitting a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth inning. Red Sox had seven players to the plate, and every one of them, you know, scored.
Wow.
Expected in four most home runs. And then I remember 1988, because it was my first year in radio, and I was running the board for a Red Sox game at this dinky station in Rhode Island, and it was an afternoon game, and Lee Smith had just gotten traded to the Red Sox that year. It was a big thing. They needed a closer, blah, blah, blah. And against the Tigers, he gave up a bomb in the 10th inning, and it was Darrell Evans, Craig, that hit it off of him.
Yeah.
And that was, so I mean, those are the kind of three I kind of remember. But this, I'm sure there's some other ones too.
I remember the, and I want to take, well, this wouldn't be a good one for Chris, but I remember, was it the Marlins? Was it 2 years ago? First pitch they gave up a home run.
Oh, the Cubs.
Yes. With Jeter as the owner for the first time. That was 2 years ago. Home run, give it a first pitch. And as Le Batard famously said, and that concludes our Marlins coverage for baseball this year. Chris, how about you? I mean, you are a Marlins fan, and they were good a couple of times in your lifetime.
Opening day, and I think a lot of people are going to be upset with me, means absolutely nothing to me.
I'm not upset with you. In fact, I preface this conversation by saying if you're under 40, it may mean very little or nothing at all to you at this point.
I never got out of school early. I never wanted to get out of school early because growing up here in Fort Myers, I had spring training.
Yeah.
So I would go, and that's kind of how I would consume my baseball in person. So by the time opening day started, I didn't need to drive across the alley or drive up 75 to go watch the, when I was little, the Devil Rays or the Florida Marlins. I didn't need to do that.
Right.
I got all my baseball fill during the month of March. That was kind of my baseball consumption for the year. I didn't go to a ton of baseball games growing up.
Wow. Talking about the Cincinnati Reds earlier, I do remember in school, a lot of my classmates would be missing, and their dads picked them up. They played hooky. It was cool with their dads, and they drove to Cincinnati for that opening day game. And I don't know that because it was important to the dads, too. You know, what a great memory. I'm going to take my son out to the ball, or my kids, and take them out to the ball game for opening day. And you have a sellout crowd. It was always funny. You have a sellout crowd on opening day, a lot of these northern teams, and then like three people in the stands the next day because it was like 46 degrees.
It was always like that, Craig. You're so right. Such a great point. It was hysterical. The best game to go to was game two.
Yeah.
You could basically sit anywhere you want in the stadium back then. It didn't matter who they were playing. I remember a Red Sox-Yankees game when I was like 17 years old. They opened up with the Yankees, obviously, and I went to game two, sat in the front row right behind first base. Didn't pay for those seats, but nobody was there. It was like 9,000-10,000 people there for game two. It was a day game at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was fantastic.
Well, I'll tell you what, we can reminisce about this throughout the day if you want to call.
Yeah, I got some other ones too.
Sure. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. I'll tell you what, we have some NFL news to get to as well, plus Sound Street right around the corner. We are just warming up here on a Thursday. Don't forget, the Sheeman & Shepherd Cash Grab starts on Monday. We'll be giving away a total of $100,000 throughout the month of April. Woo-hoo. Your first chance to win is Monday at 8 a.m. Sheeman & Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take your serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, if you've been following the coronavirus and some sad stories involved with it in the sports world, Minnesota's Carl Anthony Towns, his mom has really been struggling. In fact, she's been in a coma over this. Here he is talking on Instagram.
They said that, you know, she went sideways, and things that went sideways quick, and her lungs were extremely getting worse, and she was having trouble breathing, and, you know, they were just explaining to me that she had to be put on a ventilator. You know, and she was getting worse, and she was confused by everything. And I'm trying to talk to her about everything, and you know, encourage and stay positive, and you know, just talk through everything with her. I talked to her before she went there. Told her I loved her every day. I always told her how much I love her.
I mean, it affects everybody in every kind of way imaginable as well. So our prayers to him and his mom. Meanwhile, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, as we alluded to last segment, this should be opening day. He says he wants Major League Baseball to be part of the solution of getting the world back to normal, and he's hoping they can start a new spring training by mid-May on ESPN.
My optimistic outlook is that at some point in May, we'll be gearing back up. We'll have to make a determination depending on what the precise date is as to how much of a preparation period we need, whether that preparation period is going to be done in the club's home cities or back in Florida and Arizona. And again, I think the goal would be to get to as many regular season games as possible and think creatively about how we can accomplish that goal.
Now, Pete, to kind of piggyback the conversation you and I had in the beginning, I don't at the moment see light at the end of the tunnel. I'm hoping for it. I'm looking for it every day. And now here you have the commissioner, Rob Manfred, you know, I don't know if this is pie in the sky or what, talking mid-May. You got Mark Cuban hoping mid-May. I mean, is this the new window of opportunity here?
I hope so. I hope so. I think it all depends on how far our medical professionals can get a grasp of this thing, right? I mean, that's really what it's all about. Until that happens, I hope we're close. I'm hoping we're you know, I'm reading some optimistic stuff about different vaccines or whatever, different theories, and I hope one of them comes to fruition. I told you, I have circled July 1st in my mental calendar, what's left up there, and anything before that, I will be ecstatic.
Last night, my four-year-old was having a tough time going to sleep, so I went and I laid down with him. And I was trying to think about something so I didn't fall asleep because I was excited to watch Tiger King.
Right.
And I started thinking about how exciting it's going to be to watch a sporting event.
Yes.
I don't care what sporting event it is.
Mm-hmm.
Give me something with a competition where there are points and defense is being played, and I'll be all in right now.
Right. I mean, right now,
a smile to my face and a tear to my eye.
Right now, my score is the Dow Jones, by the way, up big again today.
Is it up big today?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Although 3.5 million people filed for unemployment today. So, you know,
it's a record.
That's a new record, too. You know, speaking of, you had going to sleep last night. So last night, real quick, we've got time.
Yeah, we're good on time.
You know, I go to bed late anyway. But again, I've been having trouble going to sleep lately. Like 2 nights ago, I told you I took melatonin and I slept till 10 or something. It was ridiculous. So last night, I go to bed about 12:30, maybe have trouble fall asleep till 1 o'clock. I finally get to sleep around 1. Then my wife wakes up, and she can't sleep at like 2. And she's flipping and flopping and letting it be known that she's upset. and wakes me up. And then I can't go back to sleep. So I've got 1 hour of sleep. And then I'm up from 2 to like 4:30 because I can't get back to sleep.
You could have watched Age of Ultron during that time.
I could have. Well, it's a tricky time because part of you is like, the smart thing to do is just fight through it and go back to sleep. The other part roams around the house, picks up the phone, starts reading again. And then you don't know how long that's going to last. And then, yeah, yada, 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 2 hours have passed. And, yeah, you're right. In retrospect, you could have knocked out a movie.
You absolutely could have. So, how, again, I know you talked about this earlier, but how are the kids handling it so far? Now, you know.
They're fine. I've got to move my daughter just a little bit. We're transitioning her off of campus. By the way, there's a reported positive test on campus at Florida Gulf Coast University now.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, and my son... He thinks this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, they're back to, you know, online school. Doesn't seem to be interfering with his online video gaming. he seems to be still getting that in. I don't think he has any problem whatsoever. You talk about quarantine. That guy's in his room all day. No problem for him. None.
Well, I'm seriously thinking of picking up and buying, it's about $50 online, the digital version of Stratomatic and plugging in baseball this year, and me doing a recap of the games digitally for the season.
Please do that.
Sarah, it looks really, Craig, you remember Stratomatic, right?
Vaguely. It's not one I'm super familiar with. No,
but it was a game. There's a baseball version which was really popular, NBA, NFL, NHL, and it was basically you had cards that was all mathematical, but it had, you know, okay, ground ball the second you're out. It basically, it was a way, it was analytics before analytics knew what they were. And it was a cool way to manage a baseball team. It was done by rolling dice and sort of chance and picking cards at random. There were ways of doing it, but you could simulate, you could have fun with your friends and have all-star games and have leagues. And it was a lot of fun. And that was without being digital. Now they have it digital.
Yeah.
Which is something I'm really looking into.
Might have found something for you to do. Yep. Meanwhile, Rob Manfred, who was optimistic about maybe a mid-May spring training, here's the other side of the coin. Manfred says you have to think about worst-case scenarios as well, and maybe no baseball.
Obviously, we're not in control of that worst-case scenario. I think that if, in fact, the situation with respect to the virus is such that it's not safe to resume play, whether it's in alternate sites, empty stadiums, whatever it is, we have to accept that as a reality. It would be a tremendous hardship. It'd be a hardship for our fans, be a hardship for our players, and you know, frankly, it'd be a huge economic hardship for our owners. It would be a real tragedy. But the one thing I know for sure is baseball will be back. Whenever it's safe to play, we'll be back. Our fans will be back. Our players will be back. And we will be part of the recovery, the healing in this country from this particular pandemic.
Okay. Now, Chris, I'm going to need a little backup on this. So Dana White from UFC blowing up at the media. This was from Barstool Sports. What is this?
Yeah, he's going forward. Next month, their big UFC event is still on. It will be played in front of nobody.
Okay.
What is it? UFC? Is it 249 or 239?
Uh-huh.
Doesn't matter. The big UFC pay-per-view event is still on for April.
Okay.
Where is it at?
And he's getting criticized?
I don't want to say where it's at because I'm not positive. Let me look that up. Let's play the soundbite. I'll look that up.
Okay. All right.
I'm not telling the media anything. I'm not telling them anything, okay? Because every day when I wake up, there's a bull story or somebody doesn't like this or somebody doesn't like that. I don't give a f- what you think, what you like or don't like. On April 18th, you either want to turn on the TV and watch this fight or you don't. You don't even have to fucking show up because there's not going to be any fans there. You don't have to come cover it. You either want to watch it or you don't.
All right. That's
the problem with that is he may not legally be able to do it.
So it is Saturday, April 18th, UFC 249 is set to, there's no venue yet.
Okay.
Really?
There's
well, let's
no
say
city
he wanted
yet.
To have it in Cleveland. Say he wanted to have it in Cleveland. He wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, he wouldn't do it in Cleveland.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but there's a lot of venues that are not going to allow him to do it. I'd be interested to see if he finds one.
UFC headquarters, and they have, similar to the WWE,
yeah.
Like they have their contender series,
yes.
Which is recorded. It's a small venue / gym, but it's already wired and everything. And if you're not doing any fans, UFC headquarters are in Las Vegas, Nevada. Right now, Nevada doesn't have any shelter in place laws or anything yeah. like that, where they could, in theory, still do this yeah. like the WWE is doing and still put the event on just in front of no fans.
Yeah, no, I get that, but it's also you could be an hour away, a day away, a few days away, a week away from them talking about what we talked about earlier in the show, which is everybody's going to have a 14-day shutdown, and then they're not going to be able to have it. They're not going to be considered essential personnel, let's put it that way.
No, that's absolutely right.
Yeah, and Dumpster Fire is right. Dana White also has big problems. Last night, John Jones got caught carrying a weapon illegally in New Mexico, and that's like his 12th strike in the UFC.
That's unbelievable. Chandler Jones' brother, yeah.
Yeah, Chandler Jones' brother, and he's been popped a couple times for PEDs and a couple times for cocaine use as well.
Solid citizen. All the way
Dookie
around.
Dookie Drush says he wants it in Jacksonville or Saudi Arabia.
You'd have better luck in Saudi Arabia.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, the UFC did an event 2 weekends ago in Brazil on ESPN in front of no fans.
Yeah.
It went off fine.
Yeah. All right, coming up, I want to get into some more sound we have. You know, GM's trying to push the NFL draft, but the NFL making a statement through a spokesperson today. Tell you what that is all about. We'll hear from Notre Dame coach Brian Kelly as well. Lots of other NFL news to get to as well. We are just warming up. 1 hour in the books on Pete Shepard's birthday, everybody. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.